If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 142. Psalm chapter 142. For the reading of God's Word. We have many visitors this morning, and we thank the Lord for every one of you that are visiting with us this morning. And pray that God will just give you what you need today in the service. Amen. Did you know that's why we ought to come? To let this world know He's alive. You ask me how I know He lives. There's several ways, but I got a book that I believe that says He lives. Say amen. And I also know that Sunday night in February 1987, that was not a dead man that spoke to my heart. Amen. He was very much alive. And the Bible said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God today. Psalm chapter 142. The Word of God said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You can be seated. Pray for us, please, and pray with us. Father, I want to thank You today for the privilege now to share the Word of God with my precious people. I pray, Lord, today that as we, Lord, give our people what You've given us, that Lord, You would speak to our hearts, and Lord, that You would help us this day to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with You, and I pray, Lord, today that someone will get help along the way. Lord, we love You. Thank You, God, for the good singing, the choir, the congregation, Lord, the special. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, Lord. It's part of Your plan for God's people. We're to be a singing people. A praising people, a people, our Lord, that exalt You in our lives. Help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach today out of verse number 7. I guess I was meditating on Friday and thinking about the messages that Brother Keith preached last week about being in bondage. And in bondage to sin, in bondage to people, and in bondage to religion. What a wonderful message that Brother Keith brought. And I got to thinking about that and meditating on that, and I really was planning on going another direction this morning, but God began to stir in my heart about this little phrase, and I couldn't remember exactly where it was, bring my soul out of prison. I want to remind you this morning that this is not an ungodly man that's saying this. This is not a wicked man that is saying this. David is in a cave. On the outside of that cave are Saul and his men. And they are hunting David like a dog. There was two different occasions where Saul threw a javelin at David. And if Saul had his way, he would have pinned him to the wall. He would have killed him in a heartbeat. Amen. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. But today I want to introduce the message And really, I guess the first four things I'll talk about are kind of just introducing the message, and then the message really comes on the heels of all of that. There are different types of prisons. I'm talking now about literal, physical prisons. I wrote down some of them, and some of them I'm sure I can remember, but you have state prisons. You have federal prisons. You have regional jails. Up in Abingdon, there's almost 1,200 occupants in that regional jail. You have men's prisons. You have women's prisons. And you have juvenile prisons. You have ladies' prisons. You have men's prisons. You have prisons that have a minimum security, prisons that have a medium security, and prisons that have a maximum security in that prison. You say, why would you mention different types of prisons? Because in life, there's different types of prisons. Everybody, beloved, listens, not battling the same prison. Some are battling a prison of pride. And that pride has got them all tied up, amen. And they're looking out the bars of that pride. And they'd love to be set free from that pride. Some are battling a prison of sin. And they've got this habit. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's pornography. And they just can't seem to get out of that prison that they're in. Amen. And then there are those, beloved, even in God's house that are in prison. There are prisons like a prison of unfaithfulness. They want to be faithful, but they just can't seem to find a way to be faithful, to read their Bible, to faithful to pray, faithful to the house of God. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I haven't lost my mind. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it's only the grace of God that we can be faithful. It's only the grace of God, amen, that we're not in the prison looking out. I've heard people say to me, once you get out of church, it's just so easy. And I don't understand that. Because I miss one service, I can't. It's just like there's something wrong in my life, amen. And listen, I'm not fussing at you, but I'm telling you that God has in this message a way for us to get out of that cave, to get out of that prison. This is a man after God's own heart that's saying, "Bring my soul out of prison," amen. Some are in the prison of envy. Some are in the prison of jealousy. You see, David is in the cave, but it's actually Saul that's in prison. Are you listening to me? I spent 10 years of my life in the prisons, and I can tell you something about the prisons in America. There are men in the prisons who are free, and there are men outside the prisons that are in prison. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, listen, emotional prisons. There's places, beloved, listen, that God wants us to understand. There are people that are in a prison of depression. Listen, I'm not fussing at you, but I'm telling you, if you're ever going to get out of the prison, you got to admit you're in it. If you're in that prison of unforgiveness and an unforgiven spirit, I remember years ago, I love this statement. I don't remember who made it. It said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover the prisoner was me. Amen. Listen, if I'm harboring things in my heart against someone else, it's not them that's in prison, it's me. Amen. That's in prison. David said, bring my soul out of prison. There's different reasons that people end up in prison. There's different reasons. I mean, listen, down here in this world, we're in a mess in America. We're in a mess because, Brother Stephen, there's a lack of respect for the authority. Listen, lawlessness is one of the signs of the end times. And honey, we're there. When you can spit on a police officer, when a police officer can tell you to do something and you just disregard it like you didn't hear it. I'm going to tell you, those people needed to meet my daddy. Say amen. I mean, you didn't act like my daddy didn't say nothing when he said something. And my dad, he had a law in his own life. He never said it twice. Once was enough. Say amen. They wasn't going to hound you over it, amen. I tell people my daddy never did make me do anything. He just told me to do it. And if I didn't, he made me wish I had. Amen. You say, Pastor, that's mean. I'm going to tell you something. God only knows where I'd be if it wasn't for a daddy that loved me enough to correct me, and mama that loved me enough to correct me. If it wasn't for Sunday school teachers and teachers, if it wasn't for principals, if it wasn't, beloved, for being called, amen, when I go in a court of law, I don't go in there thumping my chest. I go in there in respect for the authority that God's placed in my life. There are different reasons people end up in prison. Some go to prison. I'm just going to sum it up in two little areas right here for doing wrong. That can take in a whole, that can encompass a whole lot of different things, amen. They're in prison for doing wrong. It came to my mind a little while back, I guess it's been a month or two now, a man that's here illegally and driving a truck illegally, makes an illegal U-turn and watches a minivan run up under his trailer and kill three people in that vehicle and stood there with a stone face. It didn't even bother him. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen, some are in prison, and they deserve to be in prison. I used to tell people often, we don't go to prison preaching the gospel trying to get people out of prison. We go to prison preaching the gospel trying to keep them out of hell. Amen. There's a prison worse than prison. Worse than the state prison. Worse, beloved, than the federal prison. And then, let me give you this. Some are in prison for doing right. You say, Pastor, I don't know how anybody could be in prison for doing right. David's doing right. David's a man after God's own heart. And yet he finds himself in a cave. The enemy's right on the outside. He's praying to God, bring my soul out of prison. I'm telling you, beloved, Paul and Silas, they were not in prison for stealing. They were not in prison, say amen, for disobeying the law. They were in prison for preaching the gospel. Amen. They told him, said, you can no longer speak in this name. Old Peter said, it's better to obey God than man. Say amen. They just kept on preaching the gospel because there was a God that superseded the law of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. And called them to preach the gospel. So there's different reasons that people end up in prison. Some because of wrong choices. Some because of right choices. Amen. If something don't happen in this country, I know people look at me like I'm crazy, but if something don't happen in this country, there's coming a day, you mark her down, when a man of God will have to make a decision. Am I going to preach the book? Am I going to preach the whole counsel of God? Or am I going to do what I need to do to stay out of prison? Amen. I'm telling you, we need a revival in America. Amen. There are different types of prison. There are different reasons that people end up in prison. And then let me give you this. There's different ways to escape prison. You say, Pastor, you believe people can escape prison or get out of prison? Well, look, if you will, in verse number 10 of chapter number 141. David said, let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst I withal escape. So right there's the word. And there are ways that people can get out of prison. I wrote down some of them. One of the ways to get out of prison is in a body bag. They die in prison. Some men are sentenced, amen, to life, and they die in prison. In prison, they can take something like a comb. They can take something like a toothbrush, and they make something called a shank out of it. And you get an enemy against you, somebody against you in prison. You might be there looking at what's over on the menu there for that day, and all of a sudden you feel something go up under your ribs and you bleed out laying there in the floor. You say, Pastor, that's cruel. I tell you, that man wasn't planning on dying that day. That woman wasn't planning on dying that day. It happens in women's prisons too. Amen. And they get carried out of prison in a body bag. Some get out of prison through a prison break. They organize and they break out of prison. Some get out of prison because of time served. I'm going to make spiritual application after a while. Y'all will get it. Amen. As some get out of prison because their sentence was shortened because of good behavior. They behave. They go before the parole board, and they can see that they're ready to go back into society, or at least most of the time they think they are before they'll release them. And there's no way to know for sure, but they get out because of time served or because of good behavior. There are some that get out of prison because of discovery. New evidence has been discovered that exonerates that person that's in prison. Let me say something to you about our sin. There ain't no evidence going to be discovered that will exonerate us from being what God said, a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's not changing His mind about that. Amen. That's a part of it. Amen. And then there are some that get out of prison because of a pardon. The governor can sign off on a pardon and send it down there to that cell. And that man, all of a sudden, Brother Caleb knows, I'm out of here. I can go free. I want to ask you this. How many prisoners do you think would turn down a pardon from the governor? They've been locked up. They've been away from their family. They've been away from society. And I don't know about you, but if that was me standing there looking out through that door, through those bars, I'd say, oh, happy day. Amen. Boys, I'll see you later. I'm going back out yonder with my family. Amen. And yet Sunday after Sunday, God said, beloved, He would abundantly pardon those that would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they turn and walk away from the pardon that the God of heaven offers to every sinner, every lost person. There's different ways to escape. A pardon, listen, is not saying not guilty. That's not the governor saying he didn't do it. But he's saying he did it. He knows he did it. I know he did it. God knows he did it. But a pardon. Listen, God didn't declare me not guilty. Say amen. He declared me forgiven for what I had done wrong. Say amen. David said, bring my soul out of prison. But then this is where we get to the message. In this part right here, the first part of it, there's different ways to get help in prison. You say, Pastor, how could a person get help if they're in prison? Well, you can get help from a nurse. I've seen it. You can get help from a doctor. If your health's bad and you need a doctor, need a nurse, you can get help. You can get help from a lawyer. You can even get help from officers. You can befriend the officer and treat him like somebody, and the officer be your friend. Say amen. You can get help from the warden. You can get help, Brother Chris, from volunteers like we were with Rock of Ages going in to the prison. Amen. Our intent was to help men and to help ladies. Amen. Not to hurt them. They're hurt enough. Amen. If we'd ever realized that's what the church ought to be, a place where people can get help. Amen. They're hurt enough. It ain't a place to hurt them. It ought to be a hospital where they can get healed. Whatever's going on in their life. And then they can get help from their family. They can get help from friends. I know that a lot of people will send money and they'll put it on their commissary because down there where they get their lunch, there ain't no candy bars. You understand what I mean? Amen. And so if you want some of those things that are kind of like treats, then somebody else has to help you get that. Amen. They can get help from their family and from their friends that way. But I want to give you something in the text here. I want you to look at this. All of these different ways to get help in prison, all of these are men. All of these are somebody. But look what David said in verse number 4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that cared for my soul. No man. In other words, all of these that I just named off where you might get help in a prison down here, David saying, I'm in a prison, none of that. My family can't help me. A lawyer can't help me. The warden can't help me. But I'll tell you what he did realize. There's a God in heaven. He can help me. There ain't nobody over there that can help me.
And ain't nobody over there that can help me. Boy, there's a one sitting at the right hand of the Father up yonder. And if I can get a hold of him, he can help me in this prison. You say, Pastor, how would a person ever get out of that prison of laziness? You're going to have to get help. It ain't over there. It ain't over there. It's up there. Say amen. I'm telling you this morning, when they sung victory was won at Calvary, if that didn't do something for your heart, you don't need help from over there. You need help from up there. Amen. Because that's where the victory was won for you and for me. Get out of that prison of sin. Get out of that prison of emotional distress and financial position and pressure. Amen. Listen, some of those prisons are prisons of our own making. I can remember when Miss Eve and I started out, something called a credit card. I believe that, beloved. Listen, sometimes it's the worst mistake young people ever make is getting a credit card. Amen. You charge a little and a little and a little. And you know what little and little and little adds up to? A lot. Amen. That's the same thing in the Christian life. You let this go. You let that go. You let this go. And the first thing you know, there's no joy in your life. There's no desire for the house of God. There's no desire for the Word of God. There's no desire to pray. There's no desire to tell somebody about Jesus. Because sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. Oh, you say, Preacher, I don't do nothing wrong. Well, suppose I was to say amen. I doubt that's true. But suppose I say amen right there. Question would be, what are you doing that's right? The Word of God said to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. We don't like that word sin. But I tell you what, we ought to get adjusted to it. The Bible said if we say we're without it, we're lying. Amen. We do not the truth. Beloved, listen. There are different ways to get out. All of these are men. But David realized something. He said, he realized my help is not over here. I looked on my right hand, but that's not where my help is. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Amen. Now, let me give you some things here that God spoke. This is really the message. All that's really the introduction. I don't want you to get scared. The message won't be too long. But I want to give you something this morning. There's things right here in the Scripture. And listen, a while ago when I pointed up, you're going to understand when I go through these things, that the help to get out of prison is not about us, and it's not about them. A lot of people think, well, if so-and-so would just do so-and-so. No, no, no. Not about us. It's not about them. But you're going to get this. It's about Him. Amen. He is the one that will abundantly pardon. Let me give you this morning. The Bible said here, I want you to notice first of all in chapter 141 and verse number 8, what the Bible said. This is the way to get out of prison. Bring my soul out of prison. But mine eyes are unto Thee, O God, the Lord. In Thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. The first way to get out of prison, the Word of God said this is going to have to happen. You've got to trust Him. You're going to have to trust Him. Whether it's a prison of your own making, or whether it's a prison like David is in, of Saul's making. Regardless, it doesn't matter. If we're going to get out of that prison, if we're going to break free. Remember what the Bible said? Brother Keith brought it out. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. It's the Son. It's Him that we must trust if we're going to get out of that prison. The Bible said in Proverbs 3, I'm going to try to quote it, 5 and 6. That's one of the verses for the children. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. We're going to have to understand if we get out of that prison. Some people's in a prison and it's just called a rut. They're just in a rut. I remember years ago a man was preaching and he told me what a rut was and I've never forgot it. He said, that's just a grave with both ends kicked out. That's all a rut is. Dead. Amen. A rut. I'm telling you, beloved, we can get out of it, but we can't get out of it without trusting Him. Let me admit something to you. There have been times in the ministry when I've been in a rut. I got in my vehicle and I went to the hospital because I had to. I got in my Bible and I studied because I had to. I'm telling you, you can get in a rut. I went on visitation and told people about Jesus because I had to. That's a rut. When you get out of that rut, glory to God, it's time to read your Bible. It's time to go to church. It's time to tell somebody. It's time to encourage somebody that's sick. And I get to. I don't have to. I get to serve the Lord. What a blessing it is to be in that place. Trust Him. That's the way out. Secondly, you're going to like this outline. Talk to Him. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Look at chapter 141, verse number 1. The Bible said, Lord, I cry unto Thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. I'm going to make a statement. I believe it would shock us if we knew how many people in this building right now have not talked to Jesus this morning. I believe it changed our services. Brother Dale, I believe it changed. I don't believe you'd have to ask anybody to smile at them. Amen. If we had all been on our knees and was in fellowship with God and talking to the God of heaven, I'm telling you, beloved, one way to get out of that prison. Listen, I'm not saying talk to me or talk to your wife or talk to your neighbor. I'm saying talk to Him. A lot of people say, well, I don't know about them people that always goes to that altar. I ain't worried a bit about them. I know who they come to talk to. And the one that we come to talk to is listening. I ain't never went to talk to him. He said, boy, I ain't got time for you. I ain't never done that. Oh, beloved friend, we need to talk to him. Notice what the Bible said, 142, verse 1 and 2. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Do you reckon if God led Job to write this down? Man, that is born of a woman, is a few days and full of trouble. Do you reckon if God led Job to write that down, that God didn't know? There'd be times in David's life, your life, in my life, when we find ourselves in trouble. You know what the Bible said? Brother Vince, He knows what we need, even before we ask. But He said, now I'm paraphrasing here, what He said was ask. He said, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. I know. I already know, but talk to me. You can get out of that prison if you'll just talk to Him. Talk to Him. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. You could say something like this, Lord, you know what they did. And you know how it hurts. But God, I don't want to harbor this in my heart. Lord, you didn't harbor it in your heart. Lord, Stephen didn't harbor it in his heart when they stoned him to death. Amen. Talk to him. Talk to him. He's listening. Notice what the Word of God said in verse 5 and 6. The Word of God said, I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. I'm asking for a show of hands right here. Have these ever been brought very low? You know, Brother Gary, I believe he meets us right there better than any other place in our life. When we're very low. Very low. I've said this before. I believe some of the best praying God's people ever do is when they can't get a word out. When they get down before God and they want to talk to God, Brother Vince, and it just won't come out. Their heart is so broken. And the Word of God said in Romans chapter number 8 that the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I promise you this, there's a lady in Texas right now, amen, that's had some very, very low times the last few weeks, and some very difficult times. But I'll promise you this. She's never bowed her head and her heart to one God. One listen. Amen. Talk to Him. Trust Him. Talk to Him. And then I want to give you this. 143 and verse 1. Here comes again. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Watch this now. I love this. He said, in thy faithfulness, answer me. You say, Pastor, what are you getting right there? David didn't come in the throne room bragging on his faithfulness. He went in the throne room of God bragging on his faithfulness. He said, God, if I get an answer, it's not going to be because I'm faithful. It's going to be because you're faithful. Amen. So we need to trust Him. Then we need to talk to Him. Watch this now. Watch this. I love it. Hallelujah. We need to think about Him. You say, Pastor, that's so elementary. You'd be surprised, beloved, how much of our thought processes are tied up in this. How much of our thought processes are tied up. I like what one old preacher said. He said, if you're going to say something mean, don't just say it. Repeat it. How much of our thought processes are tied up. You used to. You could go like this, and that was the average TV. But good night, you go in some houses now. It covers the whole side of the living room wall. That preacher called it a hell-o-vision. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of it, what's on it, is right straight out of hell. Amen. Trying to get us to accept immorality. Amen. You know what I told people? Listen, if you watch them slop operas, God help you. Amen. They're not soap operas. They ain't never cleaned nobody up. They're slop operas. You wouldn't let somebody come in your living room and doing what they're doing. I was preaching against that one time early in my ministry. And at the same time I was preaching, I was hooked on Dallas. Some of these young people don't even know what I'm talking about, but who shot JR anyway? Amen. I didn't realize, Brother Dale, that they had just as much slop in that nighttime slop opera as they was that daytime slop opera. You say, preacher, I wouldn't admit that. Maybe that's why I'm standing where I'm standing. I ain't got it all right. Praise the Lord. I know what it is to be in a low place. I know what it is for my soul, Brother Caleb, to be in prison. But I also know the one who's helped me out time and time and time and time again. Think about Him. You say, Pastor, where'd you get that in the Scripture? I'm glad you asked. Look at 143 and verse number 5. I remember the days of old. See that? You know what happens sometimes when we get in that low place? Sister Jay, we forget about all the good times. Ain't that how we're made up? We get overwhelmed. This has been true in my own life. You can have children that are doing right, and one that's not doing right, and the one that's not doing right just overwhelms you. And in life, in the prisons of life, when you get there, you need to be meditating and thinking about Him. Watch what the Bible said here, verse number 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Need to think about Him. Number 4, there's only 5, so you're getting excited now. Number 4, you need to thirst after Him. The Bible said, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I love that song. I don't know that we've sung it, and I don't know that I'd even get the line exactly right. But fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. I lift it up and make me whole. You know what God will do? Honey, he's looking for a place to pour out a blessing. He'll pour out a blessing right there, just like he did for David. We need to thirst for him. And then, lastly, in the message today, we need to testify of him. Watch what the Bible said here in verse 1, chapter 143 and verse number 10 and 11. David said, teach me to do thy will. By the way, this is just time out right here just a minute. Brother Vince done that in Sunday school. I can do it preaching. Time out right here for just a minute. Do you know when most people stop doing the will of God? In that low place. In that prison experience. They give up, Brother Chris. I've been there, Brother Chris, where I was just that close to giving up. When we need to do the will of God the most, sometimes is when we actually do it the least. In that low place, in that prison place in our life, that place where we just feel like we cannot break out, that's not time to quit doing the will of God. I believe you ought to read the Bible because you love him. And I believe you ought to read the Bible because you want to. But if you get in a place where you want to, it's not gone, just keep doing it anyway. Because it's the right thing. Keep praying anyway. Keep going to the house of God anyway. Keep loving your wife anyway. Keep loving your children anyway. Because I'll tell you, obedience sometimes is very, very useful in God's hands and breaking us out of that prison. Testify of him. Look, watch what he said here. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Listen to David's testimony. Thy spirit's good. Did y'all see that? This man, he's in a cave. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me. Give me life. I don't want to be in a rut, God. I want that life. O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring me out of trouble. I'll tell you something. How many would know the response to this if I were to say, God is good? Okay. Does that mean even when we're in a low place? Does that mean even when we find ourselves in trouble? You know what David is testifying in that cave? My enemy's right out there. And I know he wants to kill me. By the way, every one of us has got an enemy bigger than Saul. You say, who is he? Number one, your own self. Number two, Satan. Satan is not a friend of God's people. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, had Saul pinned David to the wall, he wasn't going to eat him. Amen. He just wanted to kill him. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. How many's ever heard this little phrase? You give him an inch, he'll take. Boy, wouldn't it be good if every young person knew that before they took a drug, before they took a puff off of a cigarette, before they took a drink of liquor. Wouldn't it be good if every young person knew that before they looked at the first pictures of immorality? Say amen. Because you give that old slew foot an inch, you give this flesh an inch. And you know what it'll take? A mile. It don't quit. The first thing you know, you find yourself looking through the bars in a prison. How you get out? Got to trust him. You got to talk to him. Need to think about it. Meditate on the works of old. You need to thirst for him. And you need to testify of him. I think that one thing that would help us, and I'm done, is to realize I want everybody to listen right here. I'm not real smart, but I figured something out. Brother Michael, David is closer to God in this prison than he was that day in the palace. Did everybody hear what I just said?
Amen.
He is closer to God in the prison. You say, Pastor, if you really believed that, what would you do? You'd thank God for the low times. You'd thank God for those times when you felt like you were looking out through bars, because you would realize, as David does, it's all part of God's plan. He's molding us. He's making us into the image of His dear Son. And in that molding process, it's not all flowers. Amen. There's some rough places along the way. You could ask Peter. You could ask Paul. You could ask Silas. You could ask David. You could ask Daniel. You could ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You could ask Joseph. There's all kinds of people in the Bible. You could ask Isaiah. You could ask Ezekiel. You could ask Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And they would all tell you, I wouldn't be what I am if it weren't for those experiences. That at the time, I felt like were going to crush me. I felt like they were going to destroy me. But God, God had a plan. And God, let me ask you a question. I'm trying to quit. Where is God's strength made perfect? Where? In our weakness. And sometimes we would never understand the fullness of God's strength if we didn't understand just how weak we are. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the privilege. God, it's just the little thoughts you put on our heart. Lord, I thank you today for my people. Just the privilege, our Father, to be here in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the low places in my life. Thank you, Lord, that those places were not to destroy me, but God, they were to develop me, make me more like Jesus. God, today I pray you'll work in our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just before we have a song of invitation.